Have you guys ever noticed how boundaries are very common around us? Like boundaries, living within boundaries, physical, more, whatever they may be, they're very common. We just don't realize how common they are. Let's think about it in your house. You have walls separating your room, right? Walls separating different places in your house. Boundaries are common there. Think about in your yard. You might have a fence that has a boundary. If you don't have a yard, or if you don't have a fence, like literally when you go to buy a house, you get a survey done so they know exactly where your boundary lines of your house is. So if anybody messes with your stuff or you mess with their stuff, they know what it is. So there's boundary lines within our house. If you played sports, there's boundaries. There's always boundaries. There's no sport that doesn't have a boundary. States have boundary lines, right? You've driven over all kinds of state boundary lines. Everybody ever played that game where like if you get to the state first, who reaches the furthest? You ever done that before? Thanks for making me feel weird. Appreciate that. Speed limit signs is a boundary. It's not like a physical boundary that we can see, but it's a boundary to say, this is a speed limit. You can't go above that. And then a little bit different, we have police officers that are there to help us stay within the boundaries, right? And then when we think about our parents, they're there to give us boundaries in our life. That could be curfew. That could be if they have you on Life 360 and they're like, I see you're outside of the boundary that you're supposed to be. That could be like for my son now, it's like we give him boundaries within what food he can eat. Otherwise, he'd be like, want all this sugary food all the time. So we give him boundaries within what to eat. You know, your parents are trying to help you have boundaries with the friends that you have because they want your friends to have a good influence on you. Your parents may, especially when you're younger, but even now they give you boundaries around the money that you can have. So boundaries are all around us. We just don't think about it all the time. When you think about it is when there's a boundary that you want to push against or you want to step over. That's when you think about that the boundary is there. In ancient times, boundaries were so important. Boundaries were hugely important because that's how they protected themselves. So the way they would build boundaries is they had walls. Every city that could withstand it had big walls around it. Got to go to Jerusalem a couple years ago and seeing the huge walls of the Temple Mount. That was to protect the city of Jerusalem. And ultimately, a society and a government, it cannot function without boundaries. But really, it's without the people within that society or that government deciding that they will be within those boundaries that have been set. So whether we like it or not, boundaries are all around us. So I got there's two ways that you go within boundaries. The first one is, do we come to believe that boundaries are good and live within them? Or do we see boundaries as hindering us and we want to push past them? That's really, you kind of come, a lot of times we want to live in the middle of that. But really, these are the two options that we have. Do we come to see that, wow, boundaries are actually good and I want to live within them? Or do I see, oh man, boundaries are always trying to hinder me. They're trying to keep me something and I want to push past them. So here's your first table question. What boundaries do you see in your life? How do you naturally respond to boundaries and why? Go ahead. You got about 4 minutes. All right. Let me just rapid fire. Just like tell me some. I just want to hear some of what y'all said. Go. Time limits on phones. Yep. Good. What else? Yeah. Curfew. Yes. Yeah. No eating in the library. That is the randomest one, but yes. That's true. You know, talk about boundaries that I do not like. Don't bring any food or drink in RBC Sanctuary. Come on now. I need my coffee up in there. That's wrong. That is wrong. And what else? What else? In a minute, yeah. Come on. I know you guys. Yeah. Oh, language you use? Okay. So that's like a boundary you could set up for yourself possibly, or at times it's set up for you. Yeah. One more. Speed limits, I already said that one, but that's good. Is that one you're struggling with? Oh, okay, just making sure. What? One more. You said curfew? Yeah, we heard that one. What do you got?
I can't go more than 2 miles away from the house.
Oh, can't go more than 2 miles away from the house. Okay, so physical boundaries. So boundaries are everywhere. I hope you're understanding that as we start this out. Now, as some of you have probably already figured out, we're starting kind of our annual series that we do on love, relationships, sexuality. So just groan. Everybody groan. 1, 2, 3. Okay, got it out. Good. The reality is that I do believe that this is something that we need to talk about. We need to address every year, sometimes multiple times a year, because it doesn't matter if you're in ninth grade, it doesn't matter if you're a graduating senior, if you're an adult, it doesn't matter if you're single, dating, it doesn't matter if you think you want to get married, if you don't think you ever want to get married, it doesn't matter. The topic of love, relationships, and sexuality will impact your life to some degree. So it's awkward, boring, redundant, stupid, whatever you may think about this topic. I think it's really important, and we need to hear from God's word on it. To hear from a source of truth that is a standard of truth that we can hear from and go, I want to base my life off of that standard of truth instead of the shifting sands of the world and of our own thoughts. So the title of this series this year, we try to kind of repackage it and talk about different things. The title this year is The Boundaries. So over the next 3 weeks, we're going to do, this week is called Who Will You Trust? And then next week, we'll be talking a little bit more in depth about what was Jesus's view on sexuality. And then the third week, we're going to have actually a panel up here. That's going to be the third week. So I think it's a little bit of a weird title, The Boundaries of Love. Because if you're like me, if I first heard that, I'd be like, boundaries of love? I thought there was no boundaries of love. I thought we're supposed to love. And yes, in one sense, there's no boundaries on love. But in another sense, like everything else, love requires boundaries for it to be the most healthy and flourishing that it could possibly be. And so that's a little bit of what we're going to talk about today. You know, what's interesting, God takes really seriously physical boundaries, not within sexuality, but physical boundaries like houses marked off and countries and states. Proverbs 22:28 says, do not move the ancient landmark that your fathers have set. And Proverbs 23:10-11 says, do not move an ancient landmark or enter the fields of the fatherless, for the Redeemer is strong. He will plead their case against you. See, back then, they didn't have like all these written documents that were stored forever. Stuff couldn't last as well. It wasn't all digital. So for them, they would literally lay out like rocks and stones. And so people could actually just go and easily move those. And that was a big deal because when someone bought property, they spent money. That was how their family earned an income. It was really important. So God takes seriously physical boundaries. But if God takes serious these physical land boundaries, how much more seriously will he take seriously the boundaries of our moral and spiritual lives? Think about, this is what Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. Your heart, the seat of your emotions, your soul, who you are. Here the word heart means more than mental or emotional capacity. It also encompasses one's values. Guard your values. Guard your character. Guard who God says you are. So if God takes serious the physical boundaries, the land boundaries, man, he takes so much more seriously the boundaries of our heart, our relationships, our love, our sexuality. God's word is where we find the boundaries to set for our lives. Joshua 1:8 says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have success. God, he's saying, you want to be prosperous. You want to have success, not success in the sense that God's going to somehow make everything in your life perfect, that everything's going to go perfectly well. No, but to guard your life, to make a way to go that you can flourish within your relationship with God. He says, set it off of God's word. So let me help you understand this idea of boundaries a little bit. Okay. This is why I got the campfire up here. Okay. So this is going to be kind of the setting for each of our, I know you can barely see it. My campfire off of Amazon was a little smaller than I once thought. It looked bigger on the picture in Amazon. Then this came. And my son thought it was really cool, but on stage it didn't look as cool. So a fire. Now you might have heard this example before. Yeah, so I do have the fire up there. Okay. So is there a little audio behind there? Or did the audio not come through, you know? It's kind of... There you go. Yes. Okay, so we've got the kind of audio, the ambiance going on. Let me help you understand this. A fire, when it is kept within its place, like a fireplace or a campfire. If you've ever been camping, you've ever been out at night, you know it's kind of those chilly nights in the fall. You can stand around the fire and you can feel the warmth of it and it keeps you warm. And if it's a little bit chillier, you stand front and then you stand back because you got to get your back warm, right? You got to keep moving around to stay warm. If it's kept within its boundaries and you stay in the right proximity to it, it keeps you warm. It also provides a place for cooking. I mean, I got my s'more here. You know, kind of roast. If you don't get too close, sometimes you got a longer stick. You're kind of roasting right here, right? And you get it perfectly. Somehow my s'more was in the fire too. And oh, you make that and you got your nice s'more there, right? Got your nice s'more. Really, a fire, when it's kept within its boundaries and you're in the right distance from it, it provides a lot of a great source of things for you, cooking, warmth just to enjoy around it. But think about it. If you move too far away from the fire, it doesn't do anything for you. It just you just remain cold. You can't cook from it. You can't stay warm around it. So you can be too far from its boundaries and it does nothing for you. And if the fire goes outside of its boundaries, it has impact. It can burn a house down. We've heard about forest fires. It can burn you if you get too close to it. If you leave your food on it, it can burn too much. So a fire within its boundaries is so good. But when it goes outside of its boundaries, we step over its boundaries, it can cause great harm to us. And I think a lot of ways, this is a great example for us to think about when it comes to God's view of sexuality. God has created it in relationships and love to be within these boundaries that he's created for us to enjoy it. But when we step over those or go too far back or it gets without its boundaries, it has the chance to harm us. So if we think about boundaries and fire, we respect fire because we know it has the potential to harm us, right? We respect fire. Some of you are weird and you don't and you get burned and then you really prove my point. We respect the fire because we know it has the potential to harm us. You know, we don't usually just walk up and just put our hand in it. We went camping during spring break with my son. And like, you know, I'm trying to be like that cool dad and like let him get close to the fire. And then like one time he goes to put his whole hand, I'm like, bro, what are you doing? Like he didn't respect the fire and it had a chance to burn him. When we stay within the boundaries of love that God has created, it is healthy and we have a respect for it. And I think the same can be applied with boundaries to our lives. From speed limits to rules and laws to teachers and coaches and parents, when we stay within the boundaries that they create and we believe that they're good, we can stay with them. Now, here's something interesting. Most of the boundaries in our lives are given by people. One table I walked over to, they were talking about the boundaries at school, the boundaries in sports, the boundaries by parents like curfew. They're all, many boundaries are given by people. And you know, the boundaries that we're willing to listen to are the people that we trust for information, for guidance, for direction, for wisdom that influences our lives. And I know you hear this a lot, but I think it's true. With smartphones, the internet, social media, we have so many voices speaking to us now. More than ever before, all the different influences are out there, all the different videos that we can watch, all the different things that we can look up, all the YouTube channel. There's so many voices coming in and speaking to us now. I mean, I could spend time and I could go through the different YouTube videos and the TikToks of bad information out there on love, sexuality, and relationships. But I think we generally know what those are and which ones aren't good. But with all the voices out there, it's those who show that they love us are the ones that we should trust. And see, what happens is where we get confused a lot is we're like, oh, well, someone like my parents, like my teachers, like my coaches, like maybe even God, they set up a boundary that I don't like. It goes against my expectation. It goes against the script that I'm writing for my life. And so when it goes against that, I decide, oh, I don't really like that person. And so because I don't like them, I don't have to trust their boundaries. I don't have to stay within their boundaries. And so then we start going to the people that are willing to speak the things that we want to hear. And we go, oh, I trust them because they're speaking what I want to hear. That doesn't mean that they're speaking what truth is. We just like what they have to hear. If we believe, if we understand boundaries, we understand that living within boundaries, like the example of this fire here, is a good thing. That God has set these boundaries for us. If we understand that, then the next part we got to go to is we got to say, do I trust that God is good? Do I trust that God's character inherently in who he is good? Because if I do, then I will trust that God always has my best interests in mind. So if you go to one slide that talks about if we trust God. I want you to see this. I'll read it for you. It's okay. There we go. If we trust God, we believe his character is good. That's how it goes with any relationship. If we trust that person, it's because we believe that their character is good. So if we trust God, we believe his character is good. If we believe his character is good, then we believe he has our best interests in mind. When it comes to anything, but for this topic, love, sexuality, relationships, we believe he has our best interest in mind. We then trust his boundaries for love, sexuality, and relationships. So we start with trusting God because we believe that his character is good. And if we believe his character is good, then we believe he has the best in mind for us. And then we live within those boundaries. We trust those boundaries. We will take action to live out and live within those boundaries that God has given. How do we trust that the character of God is good? Romans 5, 6 through 8 says, "For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." How do we know that God's character is good? Because he was willing to die for us when we did nothing to deserve it, when we did nothing good to do it for him. That's how we inherently know that the character of God is good, and so we can trust his boundaries. So if we're going to trust God's commands and his boundaries, we must trust and believe that he is good. That's going to be the foundation of this whole series, the boundaries of love. We got to trust that God's character is good and that he has our best in mind and we can live within those boundaries. So here's your next table question. Do you believe that God is good? Do you believe he has your best in mind? And how does this influence how you follow his boundaries? Hopefully that spurred some good discussion for you as you begin processing through this reality of like, well, who am I going to trust? Who am I going to believe? Whose boundaries am I going to live within? And if I trust that God's character is good, then I'll want to live within his boundaries because he has my best in mind. So here's what I want to do. Understanding this reality that if we trust God, we believe that he has our best in mind. We then trust his boundaries for love, sexuality, and relationship. This is the foundation of the boundaries of love. So we're going to take a look at three different things about what I'd kind of call Jesus's boundaries or his ethic on love, sexuality, and relationships. And they're pretty core. They're pretty basic baseline and things here. So the first one is this, and I actually made a note sheet today. So if you want to take some notes, you can. The first one is Jesus's commands are meant to glorify God and help humans flourish in their lives and in their relationships. This is really the core thing. Jesus' commands are meant to glorify God. That's really the core. They're ultimately not first meant for us to flourish, but they're ultimately first meant for God to get the glory. But in the midst of that, because God is good, when we live within his boundaries, humans will, Christian or non-Christian, you will flourish. Here's what John 10:10 says. "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have came that you may have life and have it abundantly." That's what Jesus says. He says, I want you to flourish in your life as you live within my boundaries. So part of this message is based off this book by Sean McDowell. It's called Chasing Love, Sex, Love, and Relationships in a Confused Culture. And I want to read to you something from his excerpt and this idea of humans flourishing within God's boundaries of love, sexuality, and relationships. So it says, imagine a world in which everyone followed God's design for sex and marriage. There would be no sexually transmitted diseases, no abortions, no brokenness from divorce. Every child would have a mother and a father and experience the love and acceptance each parent uniquely offers. There would be no rape, no sex abuse, no sex trafficking, no pornography, and no need for a Me Too campaign. Think of the healing and wholeness if people simply lived Jesus's life-giving words regarding human sexuality. Can you imagine such a world? Isn't it good and beautiful? Following the sexual ethic of Jesus would quite literally transform our world for the better. There'd be no victims or users of pornography. There'd be no sexual exploitation, no sexual trafficking or sexual abuse. There would be no sexually transmitted diseases. He goes on and said, there'd be no rape. There'd be no pregnancies outside of a loving, committed marriage. There'd be no crude, degrading sexual humor. There'd be no pain from divorce, no prostitution. There'd be no men who leave their wives for younger women. There'd be no adultery or devastation it brings to families. So he just kind of lays out, like, if we follow God's commands, he lays out in his words, like, that's how the world would flourish. It would literally be made for the better. Psalm 19:7, if you can go there on the screen, here's what the psalmist says. He says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The words of God, his law, literally brings life. It revives our soul because his boundaries are good." God's commands, they're not erratic. They're not haphazard. They're not like, hey, somebody just make something up. God's like, man, I am the creator of you. I give you these boundaries because I want you to live within them because they are good. God has a reason. So the number one boundary that Jesus gives around love, sexuality, and relationships is his commands are meant to glorify God, to help humans flourish in the world and in their lives and in their relationships. Number two is this: true freedom is not the ability to resist any restraint, but to live within boundaries. This is really interesting and very true. Question I want you to think about. I just want you to take a minute to think about this. Is being able to do whatever you want freedom? Is freedom being able to do whatever you want? I want you to think about that. But I think that's a lot of times when we think about freedom, we think, oh, freedom is just being able to do whatever I want. Whatever comes to my mind, whatever I want to do, that is freedom. I want to say something a little different that I think is a better, probably biblical definition of freedom. You are free if you have the ability to choose to do it or not to do it. I think that's true freedom. Because see, a lot of times we think, oh, if I can just do whatever I want, live however I want in whatever circumstance, what we don't realize is of many things that we say yes to end up trapping us in addiction, become a slave to that thing. True freedom is the ability to say yes to something and to be able to say no to something. Throwing off God's commands and boundaries restrains our freedoms because we become a slave to sin. This is what Titus 3:3 says. "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another." So Jesus, I already read John 10:10, but we're going to go a little bit deeper into this and this idea of freedom. Jesus gives us a boundary. He gives us a boundary to live within. And the first boundary he gives us in, he says, come within salvation that is only found in me, that I am the Messiah. I am the one that you have been looking for, that died for your sins, that gives you eternal life, that allows you to be connected to your creator. He says, come within that boundary first. Here's what John 10:7-18 says. "So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." He sets a boundary there, right? We have doors everywhere. That sets a boundary. He says, "I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, I will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Then he says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." He says the first boundary to live within is come within believing in me as the Messiah, as the Savior, the one that paid for your sins and rose again. He says come within that boundary. And then when you come within that boundary, live within that. There is life there. I have come to give you life. True, true Christian freedom is cultivating the right wants, the right desires, and living within obedience to God. That is true Christian freedom. Cultivating the right wants, the right desires, and living within that. True Christian freedom is the ability to say no to porn, to say no to sexual immorality, to say no that is anything against God's truth, and on the flip side, say yes to loving other people and ourselves as the way that God designed us to be loved. That is true for Christian freedom, saying no to things that God doesn't want and yes to the things that he desires. That is true freedom. So if we go back to this fire example, this campfire example, when I submit to or say yes to the right boundaries and no to the wrong ones, I get to enjoy the warmth of this fire. In the same way, when I say yes to God's boundaries around love, sex, and relationship, I get to enjoy them in the way that God has designed them. I'm not trying to say again that that means everything goes perfectly. We know that we live in a broken world, but God says, yes, if you live within my boundaries, within my laws, there will be life there. Now, I find often that when you hear that, it feels negative, right? It feels like you're just telling me all the things I can't do. God's just telling me all the things I can't do. It's holding me back. There's a verse that I really like that I got almost got tattooed on me, and then I got chickened out. So I used to read this verse, and I used to think it was very negative. And it was Galatians 2:20. For I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. He says that, if you can go to the, I forgot the second part of it for a second there. Is Galatians 2:20 there? Did I forget to put it on there? Life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I used to read that and think, I'm not living up to that. I gotta crucify my wants and desires more. And then one day I had it on the 3x5 card. It's in the front of my Bible, and I would bring it out to read it and try to meditate on it quite often. And then all of a sudden, just one day it hit me. It's like, why am I reading this as negative? It's not negative. It's positive. He's saying, Lee, it's no longer you that lives. I live through you now. Walk by faith. Walk in obedience to me. This doesn't have to be negative. This can be 100% positive. It can be this mind shift. See, it goes from a freedom from something to a freedom for something. I leave the freedom from being a slave to sin, and I go to the freedom for being able to live for the Lord. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. So true freedom is cultivating the wants and desires that God desires, being able to say no to the things that the Lord doesn't desire that aren't within his boundaries, and yes to the things that are of God. So the first thing, boundaries of love, sexuality, relationship, is that Jesus' commands are meant to glorify God, help humans flourish in their lives and relationships. And number two, true freedom is not the ability to resist any restraint, to do whatever I want, but to live within the boundaries that God has created. And here's the third one and the last one. And I think this is really important. God has designed the body and the soul to be connected. I believe this. I believe one of the greatest lies that Satan is telling students today, that's telling people today, and he has been for a long time, it's not new, is that we can separate the physical part, our body, from our soul, the non-physical part. If we believe this, then we believe that we can treat our bodies, we can treat anybody else's body however we want, and it doesn't affect our soul or mind. Culture tells you that your physical body and your mind, that they're not connected. Therefore, anything goes. It can't affect you. Pornography can't affect you. Multiple sexual partners can affect you. Whatever gender you are, it doesn't matter. But I would say this. That is not true. And even science knows that that is not true. They're able to actually read the brain now and see when things of addiction come in. That is just a physical thing. It affects our minds. And this seems kind of deep. This seems kind of deep when I say this. It kind of goes like level five really fast. But if we believe that our mind and our body, our soul and our body are not connected, then why does rape matter? Why? Who would care? Because we know intrinsically that our body and our mind are connected, and those things do affect us. Hey, this is from the website. This is a non-Christian website. It's from fightthenewdrug.org. It says, when we engage in an activity, particularly a pleasurable activity, and particularly if it involves repetition and intense focus, our brains alter themselves so they'll be better and more efficient at doing that activity the next time. This isn't just sexual. This is anything. Like anything that you enjoy doing, the more you do it, the more your brain becomes connected together and is like, this is a good thing. I want to keep doing it. Once formed, those pathways can become remarkably long-lasting and resilient. Pathways neglected or ignored even for years are still there, ready to be revitalized. Hence the saying, it's like riding a bike. This article was about porn. It said, like it or not, porn is consumption, entails pleasure, focus, and repetition, the perfect recipe for a buildup of a chemical in your brain, delta-phosb, and the creation of long-lasting pathways in the brain. These changes in our expectations can have tremendous implications for how we view others and how we view relationships. This isn't new. God's been saying this from the beginning. Look at Genesis 2:7. It says, then the Lord God, this is in the beginning. It says, the Lord God formed the man of the dust from the ground. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. So he forms his body, but then he breathes into them the breath of life. He gives him a soul. He gives him a spirit, a mind, that those are connected. And then it says, then the man became a living creature. And so the positive side of this, there is a positive. It's not all negative. The fact that God has created our mind and body is connected is that sex inside marriage is meant to be the greatest bonding between two human beings. It's the body and the soul becoming connected. It actually says they become one flesh. That's the positive side, how God created the boundary that he's created it to be within. Paul says the same thing. Paul says the body and the mind are connected. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? He says, you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify your God, glorify God in your body. So he says, you're a temple of the Holy Spirit within you. And then he goes on to the end, he says, glorify God with your body. He's saying the mind and the body are connected. So, three things. To start with kind of a foundation and a boundary. Number one was, Jesus' commands are meant to glorify God and help humans flourish in their lives and relationships. Number two, true freedom is not the ability to resist any restraint, but to live within the boundaries that God has created. And number three is, the body and the soul are connected. That's why it matters what we put in our eyes, what we do with our bodies, because it affects our minds for good or for bad. So I want to end with one last table question. It's pretty simple. It's just which of the three points kind of stuck out to you today and why? I want to just end with this and give you one last instruction and some we're going to do. I think when we get into this series, you can go kind of two ways. You can be like, oh, like this doesn't maybe mean something for me, but I'm taking it in. Or you can be like, I've struggled in this area and I feel a lot of shame. I don't want you to feel shame. I don't think God's word wants you to feel shame. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12:10, for the sake of Christ, then I am content. He says, weakness, insults, hardships, persecution, calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The reality is to live up within God's boundaries, we can't do that on our own. That's why he says, come through the door. I am the door. I am the shepherd. Come into salvation first and then begin to live within that. He knows that we can't do it on our own. He wants us to faithfully live in obedience to him. But we so need God's strength to be able to walk this out. So don't live in shame and don't live in the darkness. I would encourage you, come to one of the adults that you trust in here if you want to talk about something, to begin processing through that. But here's the last thing I want you to do. Because we're going to have this panel in two Sundays from now, this Sunday and next Sunday, there's 3x5 cards in your folder. I'd love for leaders to pass those out. If an anonymous question, we want to answer your questions for the panel. These are anonymous. You don't got to put your name on it. Please don't put your name on it, actually. If you got a question, don't look at your neighbor. Don't look over their shoulder. Don't tell them what to write. If you got a question, write it, and then you can just hand it to your leader face down. They'll put it in the folder. They won't look at it to know that it's yours. We'll collect them at the end, and we want to answer your questions in about two Sundays. Let me pray for us, and welcome to go and have a great day. Lord, God, I thank you for this Sunday that we could gather, Lord. I thank you that even though the air conditioning wasn't on, that we have a building to meet in. And God, I pray for us as we begin walking through this series on the boundaries of love, God, that we will know that you are good, your character is good, the boundaries that you have for us are good, Lord, that they are good, that your spirit would speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great Sunday. Hopefully see you guys Wednesday at Shepherd Groups.